Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
All of us have had journeys of one type or another that impact our lives, but nothing even comes close to the journey that we have when we begin to seek Him in His face. Amen? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 2 for my sermon this morning. It's titled, A Christmas Journey. A Christmas Journey. You know, for many years, I've collected nativities, and I have them all over my house. Many of them stay up all year long. We have a beautiful one here situated in the church, and it's so precious to see this. Most every year, we have it up somewhere on the platform. And it's such a blessing. All of the nativities that I have Jesus in them. He's always in every one of them. There's one that I have Jesus with two little angels, and it's on a little music box. I think I brought it to a church service several years back. There's others that I have that just have Jesus and Mary and Joseph, just three. And then there's others where you have angels. I have angels and shepherds and other animals even. In this one, we have a cow, I think, and a little sheep, if you get a chance, go up and look at it. It's beautiful, really beautiful. It was donated by one of our church members many, many years ago. But a few of them have wise men. There's wise men in this one, but not all of them have the wise men. It's something about the nativity that they put this all together like it all happened on one night, which we know if we read the scriptures, it really did not. But it's beautiful to see the whole story in one image. This is why we do this. This morning I want to read about the journey of those wise men to find the newborn king, Jesus. Let's read Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read verse 1 all the way down to verse 12. Anybody have a Bible in the house?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Good, good, good. I love seeing y'all. Bring your word. Now when Jesus, verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. You think they should already know that? You think they'd be looking for that? Verse 5, and they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Point number one, these wise men traveled thousands of miles to see the king of the Jews. And when they finally found him, they responded with joy, worship, and gifts. We all know this story, but it's so wonderful that we can remember it today and see it in a whole different light. I hope you'll learn something. Point number one, those who are wise will always seek out Jesus to worship him for who he is. Those who are wise will always seek out Jesus to worship him for who he is. I believe that's why you're here this Sunday. We're always seeking. We're always searching to find more out more about him, to experience him in a deeper way, amen, and to honor him by putting him first on our Sunday morning. Most of us have grown up listening to Christmas carols about three kings. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. I'm not singing it. You'll notice that I'm kind of rapping it just a bit. But it's a well-known song. But you know, the Bible doesn't tell us that they were kings. It doesn't even tell us that how many of these wise men they were that journeyed from the east to find this newborn king of the Jews. In that time, Jerusalem had a population of at least 25,000 people. So it's unlikely that three men coming into town would have troubled Herod the king and all of Jerusalem with him, right? Three people wouldn't have made that big of an impact. But when Jesus was born into the world, people immediately began to react. His presence didn't soothe and comfort most people. Instead, it startled and disturbed them. Most people don't want to disturb the status quo, especially Herod. He was known for killing off people that were threatening his rule. So things haven't really changed that much. Jesus still disturbs some people. They don't mind putting the Santa Clauses on the front yard, but if you put a nativity in the front of a courthouse, they want to have a fit. We should be able to celebrate with any way that we feel led to, amen? We have a right to worship God, a religious right here, that freedom of speech, freedom of worship of religion here in this nation, thank God. So things are sometimes a challenge. Jesus still disturbs people, some people, not us here in the house. God entered our world when Jesus was born, so we must acknowledge Jesus as the rightful king of our lives. Amen? Now, the journey that the wise men had to seek the newborn king was not a day trip. Tradition says that there were wise men of a high position from Parthia near the ancient city of Babylon. And they probably traveled thousands of miles through an unknown territory with their best treasure. So it's only logical that they would have traveled with armed guards and servants to set up camp and prepare meals. And it may have been a caravan of maybe 100 or more that on that journey from the east. So this was a big deal. See, they had seen a star announcing the arrival of a newborn king, and it compelled them to make that long journey to find him. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You see, those wise men were not playing around. They were on an intense quest for God that was beyond the ordinary. They were earnestly seeking for him with all of their heart. And these men from faraway lands recognized Jesus as Messiah when most of God's chosen people in Israel did not. Matthew pictures Jesus as the king over the whole world, not just Judea. So here it was, the king was to be born, and God sent a star to announce it to the whole world. And there were these wise men, 3, 12, some say more, and that brought a whole entourage to find him. Amen? Amen? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 shows us how important this is. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." These wise men were diligently seeking Jesus. They didn't know it was the name Jesus at that time, but they knew God was up to something, and they were pursuing him. Amen? Point number two. Diligently seeking the presence of Jesus is the greatest journey that anyone can have in life. Hallelujah. Diligently seeking the presence of Jesus is the greatest journey that anyone can have in life. Isn't that the truth? That is the best thing that ever happened to me. It gets so great, so much better every single day. I'm so glad that, you know, we say we find Jesus, but really he finds us. Amen. I didn't even know I was lost, but he did. He knew I was lost, and he sought me, and I heard the gospel, and I responded to it. And my life was totally changed so long ago in 1973. And I'm telling you what, it's the best journey that I've ever had. My life took a change and a turn for the best the moment that I said, Jesus, come into my life. Diligently seeking the presence of Jesus is the greatest journey that anyone can have in this life. I've had many journeys in my life. I mean, Jesse and I have been a lot of places all over the world. I can think of several of them that were really impactful. Like the time that we went on to South Africa, we went there for several years, maybe 5 or 6 times every year that we would go, the pastor would say, why don't you just stay? Because we'd only go for like 2 or 3 days just for the meeting, and then we'd fly all the way back. And they would say, why don't you just stay a few days afterwards and go on the safari with us? We want to take you to the bush. We want you to experience all of this. And although we were fascinated by it and wanted to do it, we always were committed to doing other things, and we never took the time for it, but one year we did. And it was such a beautiful experience. It was a wonderful journey, getting on the open air Jeep and seeing the big 5, as they call them, and coming up to the Jeep and the big giraffes and the elephants. And they said when they move their head, you want to get out of their way. We would go drive through some areas and the trees were down, and they say, yeah, that's just the elephants showing everybody who's the boss. So we learned so much, and it was a wonderful journey, a wonderful experience, and it was nice. And I remember at that time, I was the one taking the pictures, which is usually what happens. And so I'm not in a whole lot of the family pictures. I'm the one taking the pictures. But I remember I had this little movie camera, and it was all in. It was like a, right now they have sophisticated ones, and it's a color. The viewfinder is in color. But this one was in black and white. So I've often said, you know, I'd like to go back on a safari one day and actually see it in color. Because the whole time I'm like this with the black and white viewfinder. But it was a beautiful experience. But all of us have had journeys of one type or another that impact our lives. But nothing even comes close to the journey that we have when we begin to seek him in his face. Amen? Give the Lord a praise in this house. And let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. We're going to read about what the prophet Jeremiah wrote to a rebellious, disobedient nation of people that were in captivity due to bad leaders. We know what that's about. Amen? So it's important that we realize that God wants us to continually seek his presence, and it is the best journey that we can ever have in life. Jeremiah chapter 29 contains one of our well-known scriptures, but I want to read a few before and a few after, beginning in verse 10. It says, this is what the Lord says, you will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. This is the NLT. And I will bring you home again, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Amen. Point number 3, God has thoughts of peace to give you a good future to those that seek him wholeheartedly. God has thoughts of peace to give a good future to those that seek him wholeheartedly. This is a powerful promise that we can hang our hearts on. The passage of scripture that I just read is the same scripture that the prophet Daniel read and prayed to God when he was in Babylonian captivity, which is recorded in Daniel chapter 9. The reason I bring this out is to show you why these wise men were traveling, what stirred their hearts, what prompted them to get on those camels, if it was camels, and go thousands of miles to search out a king. So we're going to see this in the scripture. See, Daniel's prayer was over 400 years before the birth of Jesus. We're not going to go to Daniel, but Daniel was studying the Bible, and he read the prophet Jeremiah, which I had just read you. He says, when I read it in verse 10, for you will be in Babylon 70 years. So when Daniel read it, this is years later, and he's recognizing and realizing, hey, the 70 years are up. God's going to visit us. He's going to visit our nation. And so he began to pray and seek God. And so he had a great reputation of being a man of prayer. But I just wanted to point out this because it's entirely possible that the wise men in Jesus' day grew up hearing the stories about the prophet Daniel. They may have even had copies of the Holy Scriptures to study. And God, because that shows me that God can get his word to anyone that is seeking to know him. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So, but you know, throughout Scripture, we find repeated references to people that are seeking Jesus or seeking God. It reveals a quest for God with an intensity that is beyond ordinary prayer. The word search in Hebrew suggests a following after or a close pursuit of a desired objective. It also implies a diligence in the searching process. See, this is what Daniel did while he was being held captive in Babylon. And the people around him recognized it. We all know about the story of Daniel in the lion's den, those three Hebrew children that went in the fire. There's so many examples of that. So he left an impression in that land while he was there. You know, so often we're on a journey and we think we're just at this one spot, maybe at a company working or maybe at a school or maybe at a function, thinking we're just there just to fill up time. But God strategically positions us in certain places to get his word established in the hearts of people, or maybe to make people hungry to know God. Amen. So each time we walk, we have to realize that we're on assignment from God, and he's positioning us and positioning his people for a purpose. And so even though Daniel was in a rough spot, he was there because of the bad decisions of evil leaders in his nation. But while he was there, he lived for God, and God protected him, and God left a message. God had a voice in that nation because somebody was faithful to read the word of God, to put it into practice, and then make an impact on that ungodly nation. So this is what those had to be to me, what those wise men had been studying and poring over all the scriptures and seeing this. But I want to show you something in Numbers chapter 24, so turn there. I want us to read one verse from a story that is recorded in three chapters of the book of Numbers. It's a long story. We're not going to go into the whole story. Just going to peel you one verse out of, because this is where we hear about the enemy king called Balak that had commissioned a man named Balaam to curse Israel so that he could defeat them. So time after time, he'd bring them up there, he'd pay them. This is the one, if you remember, that was on the donkey going to curse Israel, and the donkey kept running into the side of the mountain because the donkey saw the sword, with the angel with the sword. So the donkey really saved his life. But this is that whole story. We're not going to go. It's a beautiful whole story there, but I just want to get to this, point this out to show you one thing, that Balaam told that Moab king that he could not curse what God had blessed. Instead, he pronounced a curse on Moab and the blessings, and he had blessings on Israel, which went well into the future. Let's read Numbers chapter 24, just verse 17, so you can see what possibly those wise men could have studied out that put them on this course, that made them even start looking for a star. God dropped information along the way because he wanted something done. God leads his people. We don't have to figure out how he's going to do it. We just know that he leads us. He can bring people to us. He can have things happen in the sky, which he did here. He can have certain situations come up, even just in your social media feed, and you hear stuff, which you may be hearing today for the first time. Numbers chapter 14, verse 17, King James Version says, I shall see him, but not now. Now, this is part of the statement that Balaam made. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheath. See, I wanted to read this verse to point out that the wise men may have heard about a star that would announce the birth of the King of the Jews. And in my Bible, the word star is capitalized. So it's a clear reference that to Jesus as the King with power and authority. Amen? No wonder that they were on a journey to seek him. When you find out the king's coming, where the king's going to be, you want to be right there. Amen? I don't know about you, but I still have memories in my mind when I saw on television. I wasn't there in person, but it made an impact on me when I saw the coronation of Queen Elizabeth, even if I wasn't, and then later Prince Charles when he was made king. Did anybody see all of that? It's a big deal with the big golden carriages that come out. They took out all the stops. They brought all the good stuff out. Just because they were announcing that he was king. How much more is it important for us to honor our King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Amen? Glory to God. We read that the wise men rejoiced with exceeding joy when they saw the star. See, direction to Jesus Christ should always fill us with exceeding joy. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Savior, the friend, the all in all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there's no other way of life, and there's no peace to the soul until he is found. People all over the world are searching, and they don't know that they're searching for him. But he's also searching for them. Amen.
I'm so excited about this month's partner offer. It's my message, God is in love with us. Do you know how much God really loves you? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Think about that, his son for you. This Christmas message is full of revelation about God's perfect love for you. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org to order your copy today. You will be blessed.
Hello and Merry Christmas. You know, Christmas is so merry when we take time to celebrate the goodness of our God. And sharing the faith-filled testimonies of victory that you send to us is a great way to do that. And when you hear them, be encouraged that God wants to move in your life too. Let's begin here. Thank you and your prayer team for standing in faith with me for the restoration of my right leg following a total hip replacement. The Lord gave me the best consultant in the hospital, and the care I received was as good as any private treatment. The operation was a total success. When I went in for my 6-week checkup, the physical therapist took away my crutches and didn't even give me a walking stick. Hallelujah. She said that I could even start driving again. Double hallelujah. At 6 months, I'm still only halfway to my final checkup, and I already have a new life. I praise God who was before me and with me through all of this. I also thank you, Jesse, for the inspiring teaching and exhortation that raised my faith to a level that I could receive this healing. Praise God for that. This is so powerful. This next glorious moment says, you are both a light. You both are a light to me in this evil world. There is so much negativity everywhere, and the world is crazy. But you guys definitely have the light and joy of our Lord in you. That's for sure. Blessings from Iceland. Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing? Now, here's another one. It says, dear Jesse and Kathy, thank you for all your preaching and help that you bring to others, including me. I love your humor, especially your series, A Merry Heart Doeth Good Like a Medicine. You know what else I love? Your phrase, you trust me, I trust you, and we both trust God. In fact, I have it memorized because it's so good. Once again, I pray that you and your loved ones have a very Merry Christmas. Know that we love you and we're praying for you every single day. Have a fabulous Christmas and God bless you. Bye-bye.
Do you know that every born-again believer has a God-given right to receive overwhelming blessings from God? In my book, Overwhelmed, you'll be challenged to say no to limited thinking by understanding all that belongs to you.
It's your birthright to experience overwhelming favor in every area of your life. Order your physical copy or digital download for your donation of $5 or more at jdm.org.
It's time to be overwhelmed in a good way by God's power. Get your copy and be blessed. Ladies and gentlemen, are you searching for Jesus? He is certainly searching for you. Think about that for a minute. Those wise men went out on a quest to find the newborn King Jesus, and they traveled thousands of miles on camels. That's got to be a pretty rough traveling there, you know, on camels. But what they were seeking for? We seek the King Jesus. We seek this person that is for everyone in the world. Those wise men taught us a lot. We need to always be wise, not just on Christmas, and we should seek Jesus to worship him for who he is. How do we do that? Number one, we honor him and put him first in every area of our life. There's a lot more to this message that you didn't get to see today. You can watch it in full on our free JDM app. I tell you what, you will be blessed by it. Our product order today is our book, my book, Overwhelmed. Are you ready to be overwhelmed in a good way? God wants to bless you beyond what you can possibly ask or think. I encourage you to get your copy at jdm.org. It will bless you and minister life to you. I'm telling you, you will be overwhelmed and you'll know how God overwhelms people. Thank you, partners, for all that you do for this ministry. You have overwhelmed us. I'm telling you. 49 years of preaching this gospel and never had a financial deficit. Why? I trust you, you trust me, and we both trust God. I like that statement. Hallelujah. It's such a blessing. Thank you for being so courteous and kind. Nothing too small and nothing too big. Let me tell you something. 100% of what you give goes into world evangelism. Me and Kathy are Romans 13, 8 people. Owe no man anything but to love him. We don't owe a dime to nobody. So if you send in $20 or $20,000, 100% of it goes into world evangelism. Thank you for watching this today. Make sure to tune in next week for my message. God is in love with us. You're going to like that. See you then. May God richly bless you. Jesse saying, I love you. I really do. Bye-bye.
We're stronger than we know. We're bolder than we know. We're courageous in Jesus.
Kathy Duplantis's Glorious, a conference for women.
Women are not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Jesus came and set us all free.
Glorious, a conference for women, March 6th and 7th, 2026. For more information and free registration, go to jdm.org.
Are you ready to experience the Christmas story like never before? In his book, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year, Jesse Duplantis delivers an insightful, fresh look at the manger and beyond. You'll be inspired to have a higher life of faith as he explores the mysterious ways God moves. Get ready to elevate your character with the characters of Christmas, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year, Uncommon Lessons from the Christmas Story. Order your copy at jdm.org today.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Create your world and walk in it. See, once you understand your destiny, your destination, and all the things that go with it, it is no problem. You can, I can, we can, because he can. And you will walk here just like as if you'd be in heaven.
God said, Jesse, I fell in love with mankind. I created many species. But when I created man, I created him in my image and my likeness. So I made him bigger and better than any species I ever created.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.